opportunity to welcome you to our meeting this morning on the presidency that we had done 2021, and we had committed that we would start off with this matter of the reports which are with the presidency, and of course there's the matter of the DG of Public Works, which is being handled.
Recording in progress.
So accordingly, we will take that presentation. I know that the presentation was updated, so I hope colleagues received the updated version of the presentation. So I'd like to take the opportunity to then welcome all of you, colleagues, and the SIU who are here this morning, and officials from the Department of Public Works and Treasury and AG as per normal. So I'd like to hand over to the Minister in the Presidency, and the Deputy Minister is also here. So dear Minister, we're gonna be in your hands, and then we will then take questions afterwards, because I think the presentation is very much pretty straightforward this morning, and then we will not go into other matters. So Minister, good morning and welcome. You could look happier this morning. All right, Minister, let's hand over to you, and then we'll take the questions after. Colleagues, good morning and welcome. Bundo, Mrs. Ben, please enter the apologies into the record as per normal that we have received. Minister, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Hlengwa. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. Good morning to all other colleagues who are in the space under your leadership this morning. And I'm accompanied by Ms. Mekwa. We are also together with the FIU, but we are the ones who will be presenting. And we want to thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. We don't want to waste your time, because your questions are straightforward to us, or about the processing of the SIU report, and at the same time, the state of Advocate Fugela's issue in the presidency. Without waste of your time, if you so allow me, Chairperson, I'll ask Ms. Mekwa to actually lead us on the presentation, and we'll deal with the questions as they arise. Ms. Mekwa?
Good morning, Chairperson and committee members, and thank you very much, Minister. And good morning to the other colleagues who are on the call from National Treasury, the SIU, and the Auditor General. If I may just ask the colleague from the Presidency, Ms. Kotie, if they can put up for the presentation for me, Angie.
I see that there's a hand up. I think it's who you're referring to. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. DDG, somebody has now disabled my ability to share the screen.
All right, but Benson, don't please just sort that out, and we'll be good to go.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Madam Kutsia. Chairperson, thank you very much. As you already indicated, we are here to brief yourself and the committee members on two matters. If we can go to the outline of the presentation, the next slide indicates the purpose why we are here. We will talk to the processing of the reports that are submitted to the presidency by the SIU, and we will talk in particular to the final report, which is under Proclamation 23 of 2020. And then we decided also, Chair, to share with the committee the role of the AG in assisting us in monitoring the implementation of the SIU report. And also by then to give you a flavor of some of the observations that will nuance the challenges that we face on the implementation of the report, and maybe probably when we engage, the minister will talk a little bit about some of the ideas that we have in the presidency to improve in this regard. And then the last matter is the progress regarding the disciplinary of DG at the public works. In terms of the purpose, Chair, the quick slide, it does indicate, yes, there's two matters that we are proceeding on, the SIU report, in particular how we as the presidency processes those reports, and of course, Centre of the Advocate Keller. In terms of the processing of the report, Chair, we know that SIU is a creature of statute. So Section 4 of the Special Investigation Unit and Special Tribunal Act requires the SIU, once they have concluded their investigation, to submit a final report to the President. And upon receipt of that report, then, the Presidency will consider the recommendations that are made in the report, and we will also ensure that the final report is submitted to the relevant state institutions that may be referred to in terms of the report. The Act is very clear in terms of defining what state institution refers to, and I think this was important for purpose of avoiding ambiguity when the SIU conducts the investigation. So you see that in terms of the definition of state institution in terms of Section 1 of the SIU Act, it includes a broad range of stakeholders from those that are defined in the Public Entities Act to ministers, premiers, MECs, municipal managers, CEOs, and the boards of state-owned companies. And as I said, that I guess it being preemptive in terms of the legislature defining state institutions, it becomes relevant in terms of the latest report as well when it comes to the one that was issued under Proclamation 23 of 2020. In the next slide, Chair, we thought let's also share with you that so far, since the President took office in 2019, the Presidency has processed 81 final SIU reports, and these were concluded under proclamations that were ranging in different time periods as far back as 2002 and 2020. We have also taken liberty, Chair, to share with you the list of those reports, and they've been, they were part of the presentation. Now, when we processed this report, we've also thought that we just become frank with the committee that we have not been successful in achieving the required level of implementation. And in terms of the context of the challenges that we are facing, we thought we'd just give you a sense of the three areas that contribute to our level of success not being where we want it to be. Firstly, it's due to our administrative system, which we acknowledge that share is not robust enough to provide a clear filtering process, especially for those legacy reports, as we indicated that we still have a backlog of reports that we need to process in so far as the implementation of the recommendation goals. And the second challenge that we want to share with the committee is that both ourselves and SIU, we are constrained by the nature of responses that we receive from the institutions which are referred into the report, and sometimes that the referrals are made to. Sometimes we find that there's just lack of responses, and where responses, sometimes we receive them, they are insufficient. And so if you take this and then you juxtapose the first challenge that we did of also our administrative system not being so robust enough, then you then appreciate then the reason why we would still be sitting with the backlog in terms of filtering the report. But we also acknowledge that we still have to develop a formalized system that can lead to a proper consultation mechanism to assist and provide timely intervention to the SIU as they follow up on the recommendations. And Chairperson, probably when we get to some of the observations we will then appreciate these challenges and that. But also do put proposals later on in terms of how we think we can introduce new mechanisms to assist both ourselves and the SIU. Still proceeding on the process of filtering this report. So the state institutions that referred normally in the report are also requested to give feedback on how they are implementing the SIU recommendations. And given the nature of the investigation, normally by the time the final report is submitted to us as the presidency, the SIU would inevitably have made the necessary referrals either to the state institutions themselves, to directing them specifically what they need to do to take disciplinary action against officials that may be implicated in those reports, or to the National Prosecuting Authority for criminal prosecution, or to the regulatory bodies to take administrative action. Because the SIU is also given wide-ranging powers in terms of the legislation, they are then also they would include recommendations that goes to the blacklisting and for the bodies that are required to take disciplinary action to act against those members where it's necessary. The SIU report that pertains chair to proclamation that was issued, proclamation 23 of 2020. This pertains to the investigations into the procurement of PPEs, but it was not only limited to procurement. It went further to look into contracting for goods, work, and services. And they also expanded further. And I think what was important about this proclamation, Chair, is that it was not issued in the way that we normally would issue the proclamation, that you would limit the proclamation sometimes to a particular institution. So this proclamation 23 of 2020 was wide in scope, and you will see that in the report the SIU had a wider reach of going to look into construction, the refurbishment, and leasing, occupation, and use of some immovable properties during this national state of disaster. The investigation, just in summary, Chair, because we decided just to lift up the critical issue of what is contained in the report, is that there was 5,467 PPE contracts relating to COVID-19 and the services that were procured during the national state of disaster. And in terms of those contracts, just about 3,000 were awarded to various service providers with the value just exceeding $14 billion. The report then goes further to break down the SIU investigation into every single provider, service provider that was involved or implicated into the PPE procurement. And it goes further to specify the nature of the allegations against the service provider, the summary of the findings, the disciplinary actions that are recommended, or the administrative action that is being recommended. Goes further in terms of criminal referrals as well and civil litigation relating to each individual and the service provider. So, Chair, you would appreciate that this report, it became very important just in the manner in which it delved into the details of looking at the corruption. So it was just not on the surface a report, but it delved into the details, and hence it is important that in following its implementation, the issues that we highlighted in the previous slide, we address them so that we can really give impetus to the work, the good work that the colleagues at SIU have done. Into the next slide, still proceeding on the proclamation 23 of 2020, the SIU made a representation, you know, Chair, to this honorable committee on the 7th of December 2021 on the progress at that time when the investigations were still ongoing relating to the PPE. Some of the recommendations under this proclamation, and we limited in this presentation to those that really affect the presidency in a way, was that the president to take action against the then Minister of Health and the DG of the Department of Health. We know now, Chair, that the minister, the former minister, has since resigned, and Dr. Mukhele was placed on suspension, and that suspension was uplifted following the conclusion of the disciplinary inquiry, which exonerated him of the allegations, and he is now back at work. Then the report was delivered to the presidency on the 10th of December, and the president has since released it to the public. We have received the request from the presidency, from some members, the destitute members of the community, who indicated their challenges, and we received this through the hotline, indicating that they have challenges of downloading the report due to the size and also due to the issues of data, chances. And so as the presidency, through our hotline, we are also looking at availing few hard copies for the members of the public who are not able to access the report electronically. We have also taken liberty of sharing the summary of the report as Anisha and Anisha B. Then in terms of the role of the Auditor General, Chair, the AG is one of the critical stakeholders, not only to the presidency, but through the entire public service in terms of not only audit findings, but just monitoring some of the commitments that we made, not to only to enhance our audit or just to make sure that the presidency will lead by example in terms of the audit outcomes. But they also assist us on following up on the recommendations of the SIU report once they are finalized. And they do this on a regular basis in terms of interaction with the presidency management. The reports, as we said, are requested for auditing purposes to assist in the follow-ups, but also to determine if those state institutions who mentioned in the report where referrals have been made, they have action with the recommendations that are made by SIU in the report. And also to look at the issue of consequence management, which we know that it is one area that the AG has left as lagging behind in terms of the various the reports that are issued. And according to the AG, the outcome of this report, they have an impact on the institutions that are being audited, because they have to look at the issues of financial prudency and risk management function. And we know that with regard to the issue of risk management, a lot of institutions that the AG is auditing, they were found wanting in terms of ensuring that they put all the tools to ensure that they mitigate the risk before they happen, and where they happen, to what they do to make sure that those risks they don't recur. So the outcome of this report, they are not only just being used to talk issues of consequence management, but it's also to ensure that the institutions, they continue to improve on their financial prudency, and as well as how then they make sure that they mitigate them in the future. What are some of the observations that we have noted, Chair, in terms of the implementation of the report? Is that notwithstanding the fact that the institutions that are referred to in terms of the report are requested by the presidency to provide feedback to both ourselves and the SIU on how they are implementing the recommendations. We found that very few state institutions they actually do that. So this observation then, Chair, is one of the things that then will lead us to ensure it wants us to improve on our administrative services and just to strengthen our intervention to the way we are able to do so to assist the SIU. We have also observed that there is generally a slow pace by the state institutions to implement the disciplinary actions. And actually, on this one, we've noted that notwithstanding the fact that the Public Services Act is very clear in terms of the timelines that are required within which disciplinary actions have to be concluded, we just found that some of them, they are protracted. And it could be a variety of reasons. And one of the issues that we are looking into is then how do we also use the tools that created by the Public Service Act and the Public Service Regulations to ensure that the issues of disciplinary actions are implemented within the statutory required time limit of 90 days. Having noted these challenges, Chair, and the ones that we highlighted in the earlier slide, we wanted to also make it clear that the SIU, they do make follow-ups on disciplinary hearings. And in as much as I indicated that really that is a legislative function that is monitored through DPSA. But they do follow up, and they also follow up on the criminal referrals. So what is really the gap here is to make sure that the mechanism of following up is strengthened and it becomes robust so that the non-compliance institutions are also taken to task. But they also follow up on the referrals that are made by regulatory bodies, and they also brief Parliament from time to time on these cases. We are working together in the form of a tripartite structure with the Presidency, SIU, and the AG on a plan to ensure that when the President releases the report to these state institutions, copies are also provided to the AG for inclusion in the audit plans, and then they can be able also as part of monitoring, and they make sure that the institutions they include that as something that the audit metrics can refer to. And in addition, we currently considering establishing a structure that will assist us to monitor the implementation of the SIU recommendations. And this will be a structure that will involve a variety of parties. And I think the Minister, in his maybe closing remarks, will touch on that in terms of what are some of the ideas that we are just venturing into in that regard. With your permission, Chair, I'll stop here for the first part of our presentation and just hand over to the Minister to make further remarks. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Mikwa, for that presentation. Maybe I wanted to say to the Chair, maybe the reason I'm appearing here, please, is that I like appearing before the Standing Committee to account. So it's not a source of my stress. Secondly, it's my birthday today.
Happy birthday, Minister. I'm not sure our capabilities may be helpful, but on that very happy note, the committee, Minister, happy birthday. We wish you many more happy returns.
Thank you, Chair. And of course, I must say happy new year to the entire committee.
Happy birthday, leadership. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
You must run as equivalent to your age, ne?
Thank you very much.
Celebrations.
Okay. Without wasting your time, Honourable Chair, I think what we are trying to emphasize on, having listened to Ms. Mekwa, is that we thought it is important to make this commitment that for the President's interventions of this nature and his intentions to enjoy credibility, it must not be enough to commission an investigation, but there must be a system that ensures that the outcomes are really processed to conclusion. For instance, you would have known when the SIU presented to you those four categories, civil litigation, disciplinary actions, prosecution referrals, and referrals to other regulated authorities. We are of the view that in the presidency, coordinating and following those and actually putting them in the public eye is going to be very critical, so that all these interventions are actually processed to conclusion, so that we believe it's only when the certainty of proper punishment or proper fence or proper measures that are proportionate to any misdemeanor that we
able to send a message to those who are corrupt. So we are making that that commitment, Chair. That's why we are also looking at ensuring that immediately there must be a formalized mechanism of interaction between ourselves and all the state organs, FIU, and all the relevant institutions that are going to work together, now no longer investigating, but ensuring that the findings and their relevant consequences are attended as well. Having said all that, I think we are awaiting now the comments and questions from the committee, if you so allow, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Let us please then go to questions, and then we will take the second part of the presentation report related to the Director General of Public Works and Infrastructure. Right, colleagues, hands, are you going to be hands on the... All right, you just indicate here then, colleagues. Right, Mam Dolasha, and then Babu Samyo in that order.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues, Minister and Deputy Minister. Good morning, and happy birthday to the Minister. Kulunga Kokobi Mahosa. Chair, in welcoming the report, which is straightforward, but for me, it lacks urgency and a plan that takes us from where we are to drastically move forward. Their observations are our observations. Hence, we needed to hear from presidency on what else are they doing different to what they've been doing. Because from where we are seated as a committee, we have a feeling that there's something is being done. However, there are these frustrations that exist. I needed to hear from them what else that can do that is going to be a little bit drastically, because all that they have observed is what we have observed ourselves, but we needed to hear from them on what else are they doing different from the way they've been doing things, and noting the fact that President is committed to be the champion of corruption buster, and we see him doing so very well. However, systematically, there are frustrations. We need to hear from the minister and his entourage to say how can they creatively make sure that he am over with the necessary speed in this chair, because that's what we want. That's what we want. Those systems can be in place. Everybody can be seen doing something. However, if we don't meet the demand of time, South Africans need now things that must move with the necessary speed, especially the busting of corruption. So that is my question, Chair, but I welcome the report as it stands. Thank you very much.
All right, that's Mam Dolasha. Mam Babu Samia.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. Happy birthday, Minister. The report, I think, is welcomed, though, following from Honorable Dolashe. It confirms in totality what we have observed. So that confirmation is taking us currently nowhere, because there's absolutely no structured, systematic instance as the ministry would want to realize some form of monitoring of such decisions, which relies on the value in the first instance of these investigations in terms of money which has put into such investigations, with lack of following, with lack of implementation, with failure to realize the outcomes, and therefore that puts some effort within where the originator is currently is the presidency. So it will be, for me, I think, the actual realization of that value would be at knowing quite well that SIU in December, January, or March has made these findings. And the year goes by, 2 years go by, 3, 4, 5 years go by, and there's no implementation. And therefore, the fact lies that the frustration into the actual noting of fulfillment in as far as the president's commitment into fighting corruption would be somewhat realized. My appeal is based on the fact that I'm very sure that the ministry would have to go back and look in a structured form. Was in the first instance, one would love to know where this task lies, who is responsible in the presidency for this kind of work. That's the start of the notion of citing the value of receipt of these reports, that the president takes this kind of a report, sends it to an individual or a unit in the presidency, which ought to work and follow this kind of work to totality, you know. Secondly, that there are these institutions for referrals. Look into our frustration in terms of the NPA's capability to follow through specifically some of the findings which are determined by such a report, which leads into or might lead into some sense of frustration even from SIU when they have determined some of the areas of referral to those institutions which ought to do work on matters that relate to corruption. The third area would be there are senior offices in various departments or provinces and municipalities who would ignore the outcomes and who have somewhat showed specific referrals, particularly in those offices, let alone departments in such provinces. We look into the effect of such decisions as they point into senior offices, whether in the premier's offices of such provinces, where there is absolutely no regard of looking into specificity of such outcomes in as far as the reports are concerned. So the frustration would somewhat lead into the SIU losing the steam in as far as such a level of investigation. Lastly, the fact, you see, I'm the chair of the Auditor General Standing Committee in Parliament, and then I generated an interest when there's been a noting that the AG has been taken along after these findings have been referred to various departments, institutions for finalization, which then would be an add-on in terms of the AG's office into its own structured work, regulated work, and I would be interested to know whether Minister, do you follow that the AG is paid for such a kind of work, which is including their own work in addition to what they're supposed to do? They're there to audit, not to implement. That kind of a scenario is a scenario which is going to be a further pay into their own capacity. Thank you very much, Chair.
All right. Maybe let's take all the hands, and then we'll come back if there's any gaps, because I think there's no... Yeah. Babulis and then Honorable Mente.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning to everyone, including you, Minister. It's a long time since I was with you in a meeting. I think one of our memories is trying some attempt to make it a secret finance meeting when we were meeting about SAA and you had to do damage control there. But it's good to see you. Minister, my colleagues have at length expressed the concerns about the clear lack of really any consequences of the work of the SIU, and I am of the opinion that the SIU is doing a good job. So, what really, really amazes me, even in this presentation this morning, is the apparent complete lack of urgency in the presidency. There are many challenges which have been expressed this morning to us, and as my colleagues have said, not much about how we're dealing with them and what successes we've had. There just seems to be a lack of robustness and urgency in the presidency, and the resignation 3 years early of Hermione Cronier should have been a massive alarm bell to the presidency, given that her role and her institution was focused on the whole issue of corruption and stamping it out. And yet we come here today and we get told again about all the challenges, and one of the primary challenges which is expressed seems to be the lack of cooperation between various state entities and departments, and I think that's been there for a very long time. And indeed it's a consequence, Minister, perhaps I should ask you, if this is not a consequence of the disbanding of the Scorpions, which operated as a multidisciplinary institution and operated incredibly successfully, got convictions and to very serious sentences. Surely it is now time to reinstate the equivalent of the Scorpions as a entity of statute, rather than just a resolution of Parliament like the Scorpions were, and were so easy then for Parliament to just disband it when it didn't suit certain people for the Scorpions to continue their good work. Surely it's now time to create an equivalent as an entity of statute, which will get out there and get the work done, and we stop hearing about all the challenges. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Babulis. Honorable Mentor.
Thank you, Chair. I only have one question covered, some areas are covered by my colleagues, that you are now mentioning that you are considering establishing a structure. I'm not understanding if you are already putting the structure in, which is going to assist in the with the implementation of SIU recommendations. Are you still considering doing that, seeing that what Babu Somyo and Mama Tolasha were complaining about, the failure of implementing the resolutions, the recommendations of the SIU as soon as possible, and the lack thereof of someone who is paying attention to these kinds of reports. So my question is, are you still considering to establish this structure, or do you have someone really in the office who is doing it in this way? Well, there is no one unless you are called to account on it, and then you request another month to go and prepare a report. Thank you, Chair.
Right. I think we're going to take that set of hands, and then there'll be follow-ups. Minister, one question from my side, because I hear the long list of challenges, as my colleagues have rightly pointed out. Precisely those issues that you are here because we identified those shortcomings. So, for lack of a better phrase, you are preaching to the converted. It's precisely why you are here, the absence of movement with these reports. So the question then becomes, why were these things not being done? That is fundamentally the issue. So I think we'll take responses to that. Suffice it to say, the report, for all intents and purposes, could very well have been a SCOPA report, which there's all these gaps. That is why you are here this morning. I don't think it's acceptable, really, that we have a situation where SIU reports which flow out of proclamations from the president, when completed, they just gather dust. As far as I see it, it amounts to wasteful expenditure. Right, let's get responses to that, and then colleagues will do follow-ups, and then once we are done with that, let us then go to the report on the DG of Public Works and Infrastructure. Babu Minister, please go to Babu Birthday Boy. I'm going to go to the system. All right, over to you.
No, thank you. Thank you, Chair. I think maybe we should, which is not the business of the committee, I accept. The report for our processes came out on the 25th of January. We met towards the end, during the course of last week. This question arose at that time. It's at that point where we stressed that. I stressed that, and we agreed that we should sort this issue of follow up. Maybe it looks very meek the way it's written there. I wish I would have applied my mind on that one, because we added, as you are coming with us, we need to indicate what we intend to do. And if I'm hearing the comment is that at least the best we could have done was to table before you a plan of action with regard to follow-up. Maybe let's accept that as a gap, but not a deliberate gap. Having observed this, just this morning, I spoke to the DG of the TPME to say, in a short space of time, I need a plan of action, because, to be honest with you, DPME has a duty, an obligation, to monitor all the government commitments to ensure that those commitments lead to value-adding ends. So I must accept this gap, I mustn't defend it. I can make this undertaking like I did last year. Very soon we'll be able to come and share with you our plan of doing this follow-up. It's not worth spending a lot of time trying to explain a clear gap that we cannot defend. Otherwise, I have had the committee on this matter guilty as charged. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I think that's the first time we've heard that one before, and I think the frankness of that response points us in the right direction. Right, Babulis, I see your hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is a frank response, but I'm afraid not a complete response. I wonder if the Minister... to give an answer to my question about the establishment of a multidisciplinary entity of when I said the state, constitution as section, whatever it is. Thanks, Minister.
Can I respond to that, Chair?
Yeah, sure, please do, Minister. I'm not sure if any colleague would have come here before me, or maybe possibly in the Justice Committee. This thing called fusion, Honorable Liz, is about mobilizing a series of a set of services that the Scorpion used to, what to call, used to deliver, which after Scorpion was disbanded, those services got dispersed all over the place, and as a result, the impact got weaker. So that fusion is in place now, which coordinates all those. And I think the ideal thing is that we look for a day when they will be fully integrated in a more institutional way, so that the impact that is necessary is there. In other words, all I'm saying is that although there is no Scorpion, fusion is attempting to close that gap. There's a lot of results out of that fusion, which brings together FIU, NPA, ID, and so on. All those structures are coming together to work together to deal with the issues of crime. Is it an ideal way? I don't think so. The process and evolution of further integrating that so that there's an automatic flow of information will be an ideal situation. So that's a little an indefinite answer I'm giving, but I hope I understood where you come from. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Minister.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Are there any further responses, questions to this matter? All right, Babu Samia.
I think let's accept the honesty of the minister on the matter and plead for because it seems that he has some indication that he has raised these points to those he's working with. Is it then possible for the minister to probably in putting into action such thoughts favor the committee within a period of time which is very reasonable with such a kind of ideas, which is going to assist both of us, the committee and the presidency, to ensure that we somewhat on point in monitoring and these kinds of matters. I don't know whether 14 days is reasonable enough for us to ask the minister to do so, and I think it would somewhat assist us going forward. Thank you very much, Chair.
All right. No, thank you very much, Awuso. What I was going to suggest on this, because I think we are in agreement that the lapses that are currently at play should not have happened, to the extent to which corrective interventions are now required, which may prove to be complex in nature. If you look at the extent of the backlog in processing these reports, I would want to say, because there's an indication of a mechanism to be put in place and set up, colleagues, let's say let's give it until the end of the month, and then from there receive monthly reports on the progress that has been made, and we'll be working with the SIU. And then, Babuson, I think the 14 days that you say, we must get an indication as to whether things are moving, and then get an update in 14 days, and at month end we get the full report, and then month on month. Because, Minister, we had deliberately raised this because we recognize that the SIU would complete investigations, and when they appear before us, they only go in so far as having transmitted the report to yourselves. And that's what then gave birth to the meeting which we had in December 7th, which in itself, I must appreciate, Minister, that you actually
ensured that the presidency came to the table, because for the longest of time, prior your time in the office you now occupy, we had difficulty of cooperation on this matter. And it's clear now why. That every time we raised this issue of the SIU reports, the cooperation was just plainly absent. And so I think that we must appreciate the fact that you have taken this matter up with the seriousness which it deserves in bringing full circle the work of the SIU, because there's a number of outstanding disciplinary processes across the government levels and spectrum, and the issues that colleagues have raised now. And I think that I put this into something you can look at, that for the longest of time, whenever we raised this issue, there was heightened levels of non-cooperation and a lack of responsiveness. And I think that is unacceptable. That's not the kind of behavior one expects from this department and this ministry. So I think that I raise it with you so that if you are to ever receive pushback or you are to receive resistance, you must know that the history and there's a context that this matter has been neglected in the presidency for the longest of time. And so hopefully now there will be movement, and I think that the frankness and the honesty of the presentation at this point, colleagues, will suffice. So Babu Somyo, your 14 days, we'll get an update and then begin receiving those month-end reports on progress, in particular the setting up of the mechanism of process and ensuring that we push back on the backlog. So I think that suffices, because at least now we're on the same page with the presidency and ourselves on these issues. So Minister, thank you very much for taking this matter up with the seriousness which it deserves. Right, colleagues, are we good on the SIU, the presidency aspects of the SIU investigation, let me put it that way. Right, going once, going twice, going thrice. Agreed. All right, Minister, let's get the update then on the DG of Public Works and Infrastructure.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Maybe, Honourable Chair, let me exploit this opportunity just on the item that you have closed, just to say as a general statement, the team I'm working with, especially in the area of monitoring and evaluation, what I'm increasingly insisting on is that the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation in the Presidency is supposed to be a partner with Parliament, because our job is similar. The Department of Monitoring and Evaluation is supposed to follow up all performances across the entire state. There is no better partnership, therefore, in pursuing that job than Parliament, whether it's COPA or other portfolio committees. And it's a principle that I'm trying to try so that one day there's seamlessness in that job. Having said that, I would request again Ms. Megwa to take us through on advocates.
If the presentation could be put up, it was also circulated as part of the presentation. Chair, the DG of Public Works and Infrastructure was placed on precautionary suspension by the Minister of Public Works, and this was in July 2020. And this was taking the finalization of his disciplinary proceedings. The matter was referred to the presidency because we are all aware that the president, among his responsibilities, is also responsible for the career incidents of all the heads of department, especially at national level. And this is really the power that he bestowed in terms of Section 12 of the Public Service Act. So when then the president received this request from the minister, the president then issued a delegation to the minister to proceed. But then this delegation prompted Advocate Mokela to file an application in the High Court. And in this application, he was really seeking court a remedy to interdict his disciplinary inquiry, alleging that the process will not be fair if it's overseen by the current executive authority to which he is also involved, and for him it was a conflict of interest that he raised. So then, in the interest of fairness of all the parties involved, the president considered that consent, and then the president then changed the delegation to oversee the disciplinary process from the Minister of Public Works to the minister in the presidency. And then now the application that the advocate had approached the court on then was struck off the roll because the matter was now moot. So, Chair, the advocate has made written representations to the minister as required and asking for his suspension to be lifted. And the minister considered the representation, minding the seriousness of the challenges, the charges against Advocate Mokela. The minister decided that, you know, the suspension must continue until the process where the disciplinary process has been finalized. Again, the advocate was not too happy with the minister's decision, and he then filed a dispute in terms of the provisions of the Labour Relations Act and with the General Public Service Sector Bargaining Council. And they, at the council, is challenging this suspension. So we've had the first round of the hearings at the Bargaining Council. That was the latter part of December 2021, the 13th and the 14th, and the hearings are set to continue towards the end of this month, the 23rd and the 25th of Feb 2022. But there is also a review application that is pending in the Labour Court, and this one is in respect of the jurisdiction of the Bargaining Council to hear the disciplinary matter. So the advocate has referred the matter there, as said that it is required in terms of the law, but he's also contending that the matter should really be heard by the bargaining council and not by the disciplinary tribunal process. So this matter, it is before the court, but it has not been set down for a hearing as yet. So, Chair, that is just really the where we are with the matter of Advocate Mokela. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mikwe. Well, in summary, Chair, the point is that if I take it as a trail, against the background, the General Public Service Sector Bargaining Council is dealing with this matter, although that is against the view of the presidency. That's the reason we are questioning their jurisdiction in court, but however they are going ahead, because in our view, there's a way in which we thought it should be dealt with, but however, that is their space. The court will decide what is supposed to happen. The story has been explained that against the background of the affected colleague feeling fear and possibility of unfairness, the president took the matter away from the directly involved minister to the presidency. And the former minister then took care of it, and I came in and I was asked by the colleague to lift the suspension. And it's also explained here, having looked at the nature of allegations, it became the considered view of the current minister that suspension should stay until matters are resolved within those relevant institutions that I have already referred to. So where the matter is. Our anticipation, Chair, was that all what the committee may be, with all humility requires, is the update, because merit and demerits need to be dealt with by those relevant institutions. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Minister. Right, colleagues? Right, Honorable Liz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Minister, it's now 19 months, I think, since the DG was suspended by Patricia DeLille. Is that 19 months on full pay, and what is his annual cost to, what's the DG's annual cost to company pay that has been paid off? Whilst he's been on suspension, if he is on full pay.
Right, Honourable Mente, Honourable Somio.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, my question is also related to the previous one in terms of the time frame. And I understand that there are disputes from the DG, but it doesn't look like from the side of the Department of Presidency there is any eagerness to or sense of agency to this matter, because as much as we don't deal with the merits of the case, the issues that were raised by this committee and other committees pertaining to the irregularities and the transgressions thereof of that DG were very serious and very disturbing. And I do not understand also when then they say they considered uplifting the suspension, which then will directly mean that the DG will have to go back to work, and chances are that he is going to interfere with investigation and high chances of intimidating witnesses. So I'm very confused on this process. It looks like there's someone who's just waiting for the 5 years to finish, and then anyway, his 5 years is over and that's it. I'm not satisfied, Chair. That's just what I want to say. Well, this explanation is really not hitting home. It's really an explanation that let's give them something, but looking at it, there's absolutely nothing that has been done. There's no sense of agency, no one is taking care of this matter, and I don't know if ever as a committee we can accept it this way. I think we need to find a way of fast-tracking this matter or reaching out to whoever has to take care of it as soon as possible. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thanks, Honorable Mente. Honorable Somio, and then Honorable Liz will have your Snolanyana edition after that. Honorable Somio?
No, Chair. Thanks. Thank you very much. Thanks, Minister. You know, legal matters have got their own limitations. The aggrieved party, in this instance, though the infringement resides with government, the party aggrieved currently becomes the DG himself, and therefore is delaying the actual consideration of the disciplinary process to finality. And in this instance, therefore, one wouldn't begin to persecute the department per se. They on and off of the actual resident of the process has been a matter which ought to have been resolved by the courts, and that has been the matter which is at play. And my observation is that it might be that the DG currently does not receive any harmful effect in as far as salary is concerned, because it's paid and so forth. So the winding time is no matter to him, though we are urging to see the process being finalized. It therefore begins to indicate to me, Chair, that we have received the report from the minister. There's very little that we could somewhat do rather than begin to create a sense of a spanner which should hold on the wheel to grind for the process of DC to continue and being finalized. That's what I could only say. Because all other things and I seemingly are not necessarily in their influence. The DG looks like is seeking to place himself in charge of the process by wanting this and not wanting that and so forth and so forth. And the legal processes themselves are very helpful in terms of time and the press of government. What would probably be winding towards maybe as a tactic from the DG that his time should end while this process is being within the courts in a way. Thank you very much, Chair.
Right, so Honourable Liz.
Thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chairman. My small union is just the question of legal expenses. Is the state funding the legal expenses that are being incurred by the DG, and if so, what is the extent of that funding? Thank you.
All right, let's go to the minister and his team to get responses on this.
Maybe before, Chair, thank you very much. Before I respond, let me ask the technical team to explain the payment of the legal fees. I'm not privy on that one. Ms. Miko, can you explain that part? Who's paying the legal service for Advocate Vukela?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, committee members, and Minister. Each party is bearing its own cost at this point in time, and that could only change should the court decide otherwise when it adjudicates on the matter that one party can be liable for the other's cost. For now, each party is bearing its own cost, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Miko. Let me come then, Chair, to deal with one or two very important issues. I think we have engaged with the DG in the presidency on this matter. What is clear is that processes of this nature is not only here. Prolongation of these disputes and the cost they subject the state to, we need to find a different way of dispute resolution mechanism. At this point in time, everyone seems to be taking care of what the law and the processes allow. Now, it's always difficult to try to act out or to act outside that, but at face value, 19 months not being at work is not a good story in terms of the resources of the state. That we share with the committee. Now then, the point that comes in, and I think this is what Honorable Liz was saying, but the point that comes in is the situation we're in is the one that Honorable Somyu has explained. That's exactly the situation where we find ourselves. We are tied in established processes, and everyone behaves to the extent that the processes allow him or her. But what is at stake is the resources of the state. And then maybe to respond to Honorable Mentor, there's no time where we said we'll consider lifting. The reason this matter is where it is because we refuse to lift the suspension. As you say, if you look at the report, it says there was an attempt to ask the current minister to lift the suspension. Looking at the seriousness of the allegations, we refused to do that. And then all what we wanted, what we encouraged the DG was to please assist the DC process to go through if a strike and be closed, but he opted to go to the general public service sector bargaining council, something with whose jurisdiction we queried. That's why we're in court, because sometimes it's another way of delaying this. But because the bargaining council is an autonomous structure, it's a particular creature of the law. We have got no control over it, which is a good thing, by the way, not to have control over it. So everyone seems to be exploiting that. But however, we share the concern of the state resources. And I can tell you that we are discussing, and maybe next time we mustn't talk about discussing, we must say this is how far we are. In trying to say how best can we shorten dispute resolutions of this nature. Thank you.
All right. Minister, I think the one question that was asked is how much has the DT, if he's on suspension with pay, how much has this suspension of 19 months cost us?
Well, I'm not sure what Honorable Lees was alluding to earlier on.
It's 19 times, Papa. It's 19 times his salary. I'm not sure if Ms. Bikwe is in a position to exact figure. Ms. Bikwe?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we did consult with the colleagues at Public Works. The amount today is about 3.3 million that has been taken. Thank you, Chair.
That's the story, Honorable Chair. So 3.3 million rands in a sea of poverty. Yeah. All right. I think, of course, we are bound by the due processes of the law. But I think we must concede as a country that there is a emerging pattern of an abuse of the judicial processes in an attempt to circumvent consequence management. It's all good and well to have a well-renowned constitution, which we are all proud of, and speaks to rights. But rights come with responsibilities and consequences. And the unintended consequences here is that we are susceptible to judicial abuse. And I think that is fundamentally where the issue is. And now we are settled with a 3.3 million rand salary at home, which is exclusive of the cost that the state is incurring with all these legal towings and froings. I just think there's a lack of appreciation in certain quarters about the public purse being overstretched, and the fact that the resources of this country are not infinite. But yeah, Minister, let's hope that this matter will receive the necessary attention and be brought to a logical legal conclusion, and so that we can put this chapter behind us. Because the Department of Public Works really should be focusing on quite a lot of issues, as opposed to being held back by this headache, this nonsensical headache of unnecessary delays. But be that as it may, we are bound by law, and hopefully the matters will arrive at a speedy conclusion, and we will get an update if it's necessary. But for now, we will leave the matter at that. So I think that suffices. Colleagues, I think we are at the end of our meeting. I saw that the head of unit of the SIU is present to advocate in TV. I just would like to defer to him if he's got any comment he would like to make on the issues that have been raised earlier on insofar as SIU matters. And I know that Deputy Minister Siweya had another engagement this morning and it indicated that she would join if it ended, and she has. We welcome the Deputy Minister, and I think the full complement, well, not full, I haven't seen Deputy Minister Gordo, but Deputy Minister Kekana is here. So the full complement, really, of the presidency is here, so which I think sets the example. Because Minister Abanya Bafunukzala, and we are nice people. We are very nice. We are nice people. All right, Babum Tebi, can I hand over to you? If there's any comment you'd like to make on the issue that had been raised earlier on, and then we will come to a conclusion.
Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Ministers, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members, we appreciate the opportunity to be present in this meeting. At this stage, we really do not have any specific comment except to say that we will fully support any initiative that would ensure that the recommendations of the Special Investigation Unit investigations are implemented, that all in the interest of ensuring that state institutions and other entities implement consequence management, whether be it from disciplinary actions, criminal actions, and regulatory actions. We will also ensure that we report back on the civil litigation process that we as SIU handle end to end to ensure that monies are recovered that would have been lost by state institutions. We really appreciate what the minister has presented, and we appreciate the initiative as indicated by the Honorable Committee. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
All right. No, thank you very much, Advocate Ntibi. I think let's also thank the SIU for the good work that you've been doing in a sea of failure and shortcomings and the degree of incompetence. You are really an island of hope in law enforcement, and we want to, an island of hope, and we really want to thank you for the good work that you are doing, and keep up the good work. Minister, let me take this opportunity to thank you and your team, the Deputy Minister Kekana, Deputy Minister Siweya, SIU, AG, National Treasury, the officials of the Department of Public Works. Before we close, let me take this opportunity, colleagues, to formally welcome the full-time member of the committee following changes that have been made, Honorable Bukes, who is now a full-time member of the committee, and we look forward to her participating now, of course, on a full-time basis. She was an alternate member of the committee. So, Honorable Bukes, welcome to this very happy family of hardworking individuals, and we hope that we can draw from your working experience as well. So, welcome.
Thank you, Chair.
Welcome. And Honorable Hartebe says, I'm going to just do it. I've been informed that Honorable Hartebe has been appointed as a whip and is on this committee, and we want to wish him well on his new responsibilities as well, and continue to have a healthy working relationship. I just thought I should formally inform colleagues of that. I know it was raised last week in our special meeting, but of course it has now been subsequently ATC'd. So, Honorable Hadebe, we wish you well as well in your responsibilities. Honorable Minister, I saw your hand.
No, just courtesy, Chair, thank you very much. I forgot to mention the Deputy Minister, otherwise I won't be able to go back home, that we're together as a team here. I thought I must say here in this public platform. We work very well together. So I don't want to go back there and they say I didn't recognize their presence.
You are absolutely on thin ice.
Especially that
they are
women.
We have one of the ministers.
When did you receive the names of deputy ministers, boo? When they come to account here on behalf of presidents, we won't know them. We'll just chase them away.
Deputy Minister Siwaya and Deputy Minister Keka. You can see Deputy Minister Keka there.
Can they greet us?
Please let them greet.
This is DM Siwaya.
Okay.
Good morning, Chair. This is DM Kikana, and happy birthday to Minister Gungu Mbele.
Minister, thank you very much, colleagues. Minister and deputy ministers, and to the president. By your own concession, you are guilty as charged. And whilst one will appreciate that very frank and candid response and acknowledgement to the issue, I think there must be a heightened level of urgency to not find yourselves in a similar position again on important matters of public accountability. And assure you that we will continue exerting the necessary pressure to set you on a trajectory of holistic operations consistent with your duties and responsibilities. And I would want to reiterate, Minister, that this is a matter that, of course, whilst it is corrected, must be investigated as to why these very serious lapses existed, particularly in the presidency, which should lead by example in the executive. So I only say that to uphold the concession that indeed you are guilty as charged. And we are hopeful that the timeline set and the commitment you have made will yield the necessary results, and that in our other capacity we are an enabler to assist you to ensure that the right things are done. And so hopefully we'll get those reports. And so, colleagues, I'd like to thank you very much. Minister and your team, thank you. Colleagues, tomorrow it's housekeeping matters, minutes and reports. But then we'll ensuring that everything is circulated so that we can be up to date with our own internal matters. To those colleagues participating in by-elections tomorrow, all the best. Colleagues, on that very note, the meeting stands adjourned, and happy Tuesday.
Thank you, Chair.
Long live the Chair. Congratulations, Honorable Hadebe, with an age.
Yabonga,
colleagues. Thank you, Chair. Bye.
Bye.